Don't Stop, Your Bones Aren't Broken. Written by 429 Car Crash and read by Flower Parish. This is a Marvel and DC crossover fic, rated mature, featuring the relationships Bucky/Jason and pre-Bucky/Jason/Clint. Summary. The summer of 2012 was supposed to be just like any other, hot and humid, with just enough criminal activity to keep things interesting. Except aliens invaded New York, there's a few new vigilantes running around Gotham, and Jason and Bucky end up caught in the middle of what shouldn't be their problem to solve.
Keep moving, keep pushing, don't stop, your bones are broken. Hear the voice, hear me calling, don't give up, just a moment for glory. Don't let go, don't let go, don't let go.
Bad day to be those guys, Bucky mused to himself as he watched some wackadoodle with a sword slice through the gang that was supposed to be his own targets for the night. Ah well, work smarter, not harder, or whatever those stupid motivational posters said. Might as well let this person take out as much of the gang as they could. Bucky could always intervene if things looked like they were starting to go south. That didn't seem likely. Whoever this person was, they were very good. Bucky appreciated skill and competence. He didn't know much about sword fighting, swordplay, swordsmanship, but the newcomer had just deflected a bullet with one, so he was impressed. They were also either enhanced or reckless, or both, based on the way they charged in without bothering to avoid injuries, which Bucky sympathized with, to an extent. He'd done the whole self-destructive thing that he carefully did not consider a suicidal tendency. He didn't do it anymore, comfortable now with himself and his choices, and no longer feeling like he needed to be punished for the bullshit Hydra had made him do. Besides, Jason had expressed concern over that habit, and while the words he'd used had been more blunt than persuasive, the deliberately restrained way he'd spoken was the most overtly caring thing anyone had done for Bucky in a long, long time. Someone needed to have that same chat with Swordy down there, Bucky thought, as the person took a bullet to the bicep without flinching. The shooter who'd gotten the hit in did get a retaliatory sword through the heart immediately afterward, but still, do that move before you take the bullet. Bucky realized with a start that he was rather invested in this person's well-being, considering he had no idea who they were, a gap in his knowledge that was mildly concerning in and of itself. He'd been in Gotham and around Jason long enough that he had a pretty good handle on who was around, the villains and vigilantes and lawful types who prowled the city. The sword wielder took out two more goons as Bucky watched with a freshly critical eye. The gold highlights on the all-black outfit were fairly distinctive and reminded him of one of Jason's numerous siblings, Cass, in her orphan persona. The body type was all wrong for Cass, though, too tall and too thick. The only other person Bucky knew of who wielded swords was Deadpool, which, hopefully, it wasn't Deadpool. Gotham had enough shit going on without that guy showing up to make a mess of things. Maybe it was Deathstroke. It would be a fancy new uniform for him, and he didn't often use a sword, but he made more sense than anyone else local. How many sword fighters could there be in Gotham anyway? Vigilante work didn't come with strict deadlines, but this was the third target that Jason had been late to, and he was starting to get irritated about it. This was his city, his neighborhood, his people, his responsibilities. And yet, here was some jerk with a bow and arrow coming into Jason's territory and sniping those responsibilities away. Or something. Jason was a little too angry to make that thought coherent. Who uses a bow and arrow in Gotham anyway? That kind of nonsense was supposed to be part of Star City's shtick. No one used arrows in Gotham except for the few times Roy was around and found them to be the best tool for the job. This wasn't Roy, though. Roy would have let someone know if he was back on the East Coast, if he was going to be spending time in Gotham, particularly if he was going to be killing people in Gotham. Besides, There hadn't been any odd kills with unusual weapons lately. Roy might have started out as just an archer, but he used whatever was the quickest and easiest these days. He thumbed out a quick text anyway, just in case. If this wasn't Roy's work, then it might be someone else related to the arrows, and maybe Roy would have some idea of who that might be. It certainly wasn't anyone local to Gotham. No one local to Gotham would have had the balls to take this guy out. He was too well connected to too many people. Or at least, he had been too well connected. Now he was just dead. Jason double-checked his surroundings for unwanted onlookers before letting out a modestly aggrieved sigh. He should probably take the fall for this one. He had intended to kill the guy himself anyway, but there was something infuriating about playing cleanup for some asshole who didn't care enough to deal with his own mess. You can't just go around leaving arrows in bodies, that's just asking for the cops to throw you in jail. Jason pulled the arrow out of the guy's throat and shot a bullet through the open wound, then emptied the rest of the clip haphazardly into his torso. The coroner never looked too closely at these things, and anyway, the time between the arrow and the bullets wasn't long enough for rigor mortis to have set in. It should look like he'd died in a shootout, which was at least vaguely true, and the police would either pin it on one of his enemies, chalk it up to random bad luck, or blame Red Hood. And in the unlikely event that the police were half competent and found evidence of Arrow Guy, too bad, so sad. That was out of Jason's control and decidedly not his problem. Shit, 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 shit. Bucky ducked into an alleyway, clambered up a fire escape, and ducked down behind the lip of the roof, trying to stay as quiet and unobtrusive as possible. He had a go bag not too far from here. He could grab it and run, get the fuck out of Gotham before anything else happened, before anyone found out he was here. Jason would probably get upset about a hasty, unannounced departure, but he'd make it up to him. He could also try explaining, but he was a little too panicked to think of how he could phrase that. He leaned against the wall, closed his eyes briefly, and tried to slow his heart rate back down to its normal steadiness. Think, Barnes. If he was here for you, you wouldn't have seen him until it was too late. Unless he's doing a double bluff, he thought cynically, but it was a weak counterargument and he could feel himself calming down as he worked through the facts. Sure, an incredibly skilled and dangerous sniper was running around Gotham for unknown reasons, but he almost certainly wasn't here for Bucky. He didn't need to guard his back against a swift and silent arrow. He should still probably lay low for at least a week. Hawkeye worked for S.H.I.E.L.D. these days, S.H.I.E.L.D. was riddled with Hydra agents, and the last thing Bucky wanted to do was accidentally lead Hydra home to Jason. Could they deal with it if it happened? Probably. Would it be a hell of a lot easier if they didn't have to? Definitely. Bucky peeked over the edge of the roof he was crouched on, found the street below deserted, and started slowly picking his way home in a twisting, convoluted route as was his habit. Now that he had a bit of distance to think about things, that old familiar flavor of guilt crept back in to eat at him. Not for the things he'd done under Hydra's control. No, he knew the responsibility for those crimes lay at the feet of the people who had tortured and brainwashed and used him. But he'd gotten out, and he'd gotten Jason, and he'd run and not looked back. Logically, he knew there was only so much one man could do against such an insidious organization. Even if he told Jason some or all of it, and got him involved in a revenge tour, how much of a dent could the two of them really make before they got killed, or worse, captured? But to not even try, something about it felt cowardly. Not acting against Hydra when he had inside knowledge and opportunity made him at least partly complicit for how much further it had twined its tentacles around the world in the past few years. He wondered if Hawkeye's mission here was even really for S.H.I.E.L.D., or if it was actually an obscured Hydra mission, or even an outright one. Maybe Bucky could start making amends now, do the world a favor by taking the Archer out in case they'd gotten their talons in the legendary assassin, and he was working for them willingly. Now there was an absurd thought. He knew enough about Hawkeye to know that the only way he'd go along with plans of world domination was if he'd been brainwashed himself. Hydra's method for that would outright kill anyone without the kind of serum enhancements Bucky had, so the likelihood that they'd tried it on Hawkeye, effectively zero. Relieved that he wasn't in any imminent danger, and oddly proud that he'd been able to talk himself down from his own panic attack so thoroughly, Bucky entered the safe house humming. He meandered into the kitchen, pulling out the ingredients to make some conveniently time-consuming rugelach. It wouldn't hurt to stick close to home for a bit. He'd wait for the heat to die down, make sure anyone who might recognize him was out of the area, before going back out on regular patrol. This was the last straw. Jason was going to put a hit out on whoever had decided to put Gotham on People Magazine's list of the 10 hottest destinations for vigilantes this summer. At least, he assumed that was what had happened, because there was really no other reasonable explanation for what he was witnessing. There wasn't an increase in regular criminal activity. Gotham was too hot and too humid at this time of year, and while that did tend to make people go a little off the rails, it was small potatoes compared to the spring and fall crime seasons. The increase in the amount of vigilante activity recently was outrageously outsized in comparison. Specifically, the increase in vigilante activity by non-locals, because Jason was fairly consistent in his activities, Bucky had been taking it easy recently, and all of Gotham's regulars and semi-regulars were mostly keeping to their usual schedules. There was an unexpectedly large number of crooks being taken out, some that Jason agreed with, some that he thought would have been fine to just leave alone, and some that were, apparently, unbeknownst to Jason, part of a larger criminal network. He'd gotten a tip-off from one of his informants about a nasty dust-up in the Upper West Side, and while it wasn't his usual territory, the description of the assailant as a sword-wielder had piqued his interest. Sure, Jason occasionally used the Allblades when they deigned to make an appearance. He encountered what he privately thought should count as pure evil a lot more frequently than the swords acknowledged, but he wouldn't exactly classify himself as skilled with the weapons. Ronin was one of the only two sword fighters active in the game these days, and Jason leapt at the rare chance to watch an expert in action. The art of the blade had fallen out of fashion, but it was an art nonetheless, and the man he was currently spying on was a master, though the inspiration behind his newest work was questionable. Jason had been vaguely aware that the shop owner currently bleeding out on the ground had ties to the Russian mafia, but he hadn't thought it was serious enough to deal with, preferring to keep the guy alive in case he could be useful in the future. Ronin, clearly, hadn't come to the same conclusion. Or, possibly, he had additional information that Jason wasn't privy to, considering the extreme prejudice with which he was carving up a surprisingly large number of people. To intervene or not to intervene? Ronin was leaving quite a lot of blood in his wake, but Jason wasn't actually certain if he was wrong to do so. He didn't know much about the guy, since despite his unusual weapon of choice, the assassin was quite adept at staying off everyone's radar. Unlike the other, more infamous swordsmen that had an easily definable, if wildly chaotic, moral code. It was quite possible that he was taking out all these men because they'd looked at him funny or insulted him or some other petty issue. Jason watched Ronin easily deflect a bullet with his blade and decided not to get involved. This wasn't his territory anyway. If the Bats wanted his help to deal with this guy, they'd have to ask nicely. Bucky looked up to check the clock as the lock on the front door jiggled. Not even midnight yet. He pulled out a gun and leveled it casually at the intruder bursting through the door, who turned out to not be an intruder at all, but an incredibly irritated Jason. "Didn't expect you back so soon," he commented, putting the gun back down and raising his eyebrows instead. "Got called in for a meeting," Jason snarled as he stalked back to the bedroom, ripping off bits and pieces of his gear as he went. "Need me to finish your patrol?" Bucky offered. He sure as hell wasn't going to offer to take the meeting instead. That would almost certainly end in bloodshed, and Jason did actually like these people when they weren't pissing him off. Jason shook his head as he blew back through the living room. "Don't wait up," he called out as he left. He hadn't even taken the opportunity to insult the book Bucky was rereading. Shaking his head, Bucky stuck the scrap of paper he was using as a bookmark in between the pages and slid the novel back onto the coffee table, knowing he wouldn't be able to focus on it while Jason was out. It wasn't necessarily infrequent for Jason to get called in to help, but usually that came with advance notice and shared goals, not yanking him out of the middle of patrol. These meetings were always a toss-up anyway, whether they'd be useful or just annoying. On a good day, Bucky, and Jason, grumble though he might about it, understood the others were coming from a place of concern. Jason was part of their family, a volatile, deadly part of their family. They were all trying to keep Gotham safe, they just didn't always agree on the best way to do that. A good, well-planned, mutually beneficial mission could do wonders for improving relationships, and Bucky liked to gently encourage Jason to use those as opportunities to keep the bridges open, so to speak. However, the likelihood of this particular summoning leading to such an outcome was fairly low. Bucky wandered around the apartment looking for something to distract him from thinking through scenarios and probabilities and plans. By the time Jason came home, Bucky had hunted down all the stray books they had, sorted them by genre, and was halfway through reshuffling the shelves so that everything they'd accumulated since the last time he'd done this would fit somewhere on one of the three bookcases they had. He was still pissed, Bucky noticed immediately, which didn't bode well. "Don't know why I bother," Jason muttered under his breath, slumping immediately down into the couch without even bothering to take off his jacket. Bucky gave him space and stayed quiet, letting Jason get his emotions under control, and was pleased when he finally got up with a groan and slowly wandered into the kitchen. Once he'd gotten the books as orderly as they were going to get, Bucky followed after him, pouring himself a glass of water and settling easily against the kitchen island. "What did they want this time?" he asked, unable to contain his curiosity any longer, now that his self-appointed task was done and Jason seemed a bit more settled. "You've noticed how the city's been pretty hot lately. Well, Bruce found yet another unaccounted-for body and convinced himself we were behind the uptick in activity." Jason scowled darkly. "As if we're the only two people in town. As if we're the only two people in town who use deadly weapons." Bucky clenched his jaw, bit back exactly what he thought of that assumption so as not to add fuel to Jason's fire. "Maybe it's the aliens," he said, trying for a joke instead and getting rewarded with a quick, appropriately derisive snort, followed by an oddly pensive expression. "Maybe." Jason turned his glass around in his hand, clearly thinking. "Except, what if you're not far off the mark? New York's a train wreck right now. What if some of their mercs decided to get the hell out of Dodge? Especially if they think the new team of Avengers might turn towards more mundane threats." Bucky winced at the idea, more so from the mention of Steve's new team rather than any concern about more criminals coming in and setting up shop in their city. People fleeing from New York to Gotham after the alien invasion was a plausible theory, but they'd need real, solid evidence before he'd believe it. Besides, it wasn't exactly actionable information. Although... "So what do you want to do? Set loose Gotham's most off-the-wall bananas characters to scare him away? Locals are used to, say, Ivy's bullshit, but, and I'm speaking from experience here, that'd freak the bejesus out of an out-of-towner." There were no flowers, shrubs, herbs, or any kind of plant in any of their safe houses. Part of the reason was just honest pragmatism, since at any given time they might need to bail out of a particular place and not come back, and it would be cruel to let an innocent plant die out of lack of attention. But an outsized part of the reason was defense, and a little bit of fear. Decades under Hydra's thumb, and yet the person Bucky least wanted to see ever again was definitely, unquestionably, the eco-terrorist who could control thorn-covered vines. Jason, sweetheart that he was, had kindly refrained from laughing at Bucky's predicament back then. He was not so considerate now. "Didn't think you wanted to draw Ivy's attention to you any more than it already has been," he said with a wink. "It doesn't have to be specifically her," Bucky said hastily. "It was just an example. Shut up." "She'd totally be into it, though, is the thing," Jason said, once he'd stopped cackling. "And as funny as it could be to terrorize the outsiders with some of Gotham's finest, I'm not sure it would have the desired effect." "What if we tailor our efforts?" Bucky mused, now really warming to the idea of kicking at least some of these people out. There's two major players I've seen running around. Might be worth it to shoo them out and see what effect that has. Jason nodded in agreement. Deathstroke and Hawkeye. Ronin and the new Arrow. What? They stared at each other for a long moment. What the hell? We've got 4 extra vigilantes targeting our city? Jason asked incredulously. They stared at each other for a long moment, a thin tendril of dread creeping its way up Jason's throat. How could he have missed 2 extra outsiders running around his city? Who the hell is Hawkeye? He asked, trying to keep his voice controlled instead of desperate. He's an assassin, Bucky replied immediately. One of the best there is. He makes shots with an arrow that other people wouldn't make with a gun. That sounded oddly familiar. Arrows, Jason repeated, his mind working rapidly to pull the pieces together. Roy had said he didn't know who was running around Gotham, but he'd also been off the grid for a while and might not have the most up-to-date information. I think that might be the guy I assumed was a new Arrow. There's no way there's 2 different archers in town, Jason said, more firmly than he felt. It seems unlikely, Bucky agreed. That's a pretty archaic weapon, and this isn't Star City. Exactly. Well, that's better news at least. Ronin, Hawkeye, and you said you've seen Deathstroke. Jason was not a fan of Deathstroke, but the mercenary was a common enough nuisance in Gotham that he could be handled or waited out. Well, Bucky hesitated, piquing Jason's interest immediately. I thought it was Deathstroke, he admitted, but I wasn't certain and the outfit wasn't right. I don't know who else it could be, though. I don't know of many people who use a sword. Jason abruptly realized that the two of them might need to actually talk about things more often, just for the novelty of not confusing each other so much. Ronin is a sword guy. They stared at each other for another long moment before Bucky rolled his eyes. Right, okay. Glad we got that sorted out before we got too panicky, he huffed in what Jason suspected was mild embarrassment. Hey, this is good news, really, Jason said, biting back a smile and a heady feeling of relief. We're back down to just 2 guys we gotta target. Yeah, Bucky said, blowing out an exasperated breath. Let's get to work. It was unexpectedly time-consuming, setting up a trap, tailoring a situation so that only the particular person or persons you wanted would fall for it, thinking through contingencies in case they didn't show, or in case someone else showed, researching to find the best kind of bait and how to fake it. This wasn't Jason's typical style of work. Usually, he pulled just enough information to find out where he needed to be, and then set off to bust some heads. Bucky had clearly done this before. It was obvious in the plan he put together over the next few days, the careful, thoughtful dossier of research he compiled. There was a full report, split into sections and subsections and color-coded with a key. It included information on A. Gotham. 1. Gotham's residents. Demographics. 2. Gotham's resident vigilantes. Usual locations. Usual activities. Known affiliates. 3. Gotham's resident criminals. Usual locations. Usual activities. Known affiliates. 4. Gotham's neighborhoods. Map. 5. Gotham's neighborhoods' typical kinds of crime. B. Hawkeye. 1. History. Pre-vigilante period. Vigilante period. Shield missions. 2. Known skills. 3. Known associates. 4. Known enemies. C. Ronin. 1. History. 2. Known skills. D. The recent spate of activity in Gotham. 1. Victims. 2. Locations. 3. Weapons. 4. Known and suspected links amongst the above. E. Potential mission specifications. 1. Locations. Likelihood of discovery by unwanted others. Likelihood of discovery by each target. Ease of inconspicuous entrance by Jason and Bucky. 2. Types of bait. Likelihood of each target being interested. Likelihood of unwanted others being interested. Ease of acquisition or ability to fake. Necessity of involving others. As well as some appendices that Jason assumed would be discussed on an as-needed basis. The section on Hawkeye was conspicuously longer than the section on Ronin. "Well, I guess you not recognizing Ronin makes sense," Jason said, brandishing the hilariously thin sheaf of papers on the swordsman. Bucky shrugged. "Ronin doesn't seem to leave as many people alive to get information from." "Well, when he put it like that..." "Where'd you find all this anyway?" Jason asked absently, peering intently at a mission report that was probably supposed to be classified. "I've got my sources," Bucky replied vaguely. Jason looked up curiously at that, but Bucky refused to meet his eyes. He thought about pressing the issue. It would be reasonable to do, since they were relying on the information to design their job. If the source was unreliable or sketchy, Jason wanted to know that before he potentially risked his life on the information. Except Bucky didn't talk about his past. Ever. Where he'd been, who he'd learned his skills from, why he sometimes got that glint in his eye like he was thinking about rabbiting. Jason didn't ask, either, comfortable in who they were with each other, now, here in Gotham. He didn't exactly want Bucky digging into his own sordid history, after all. "Alrighty," he said lightly, moving them along. "Let's see if we can pick out any habits." While both Ronin and Hawkeye took on a fair number of garden-variety criminals, or Garden State variety criminals, as Bucky called them, because he had a terrible sense of humor to go along with his pathological Brooklynite urge to take every opportunity to dunk on New Jersey, they each had a more specific target pattern that stood out. Ronin, as Jason had seen firsthand, had beef with the Russians. Lots of beef. To the point where it almost felt prejudicial except for the fact that the people he took out all tied back to the mob or other similarly shady organizations. Hawkeye, on the other hand, focused his efforts on traffickers of all flavors. Most of his hits were on drug and weapons traffickers, since those were thankfully what Gotham had the most of. That was a depressing thought now that Jason had had it, but he didn't dwell on it too long, because there had been one of Hawkeye's hits that gave Jason pause. One instance of a human trafficking ring whose every single member and associate had been turned into a pincushion. Age-old question of quality versus quantity, he mused. He knew which he would choose, but Bucky might have a different opinion. "So, I think the Russian angle is unquestionably the best one for Ronin, but I don't know about Hawkeye. Trafficking, sure, but of what in particular? I think we can fake any of them reasonably well, though drugs or weapons would obviously be easier to come by," Jason added, when he didn't get an immediate reply. Bucky flicked through the pages again thoughtfully, before grimacing and closing the file with a definitive snap. "If we want to make sure we get Hawkeye, we should take the human trafficking angle," he said firmly. "It's a low sample size, but the brutality was..." He trailed off. It seemed personal, in a way. "Agreed. So how do we start faking a Russian human trafficking ring?" "I think we can start by getting specific," Bucky suggested, a glint in his eye that was slightly unsettling. "Have you ever heard of the Red Room?" It was possible that faking a Red Room trafficking ring in Gotham had been a bad idea. Not in the abstract. In the abstract, it was a brilliant idea. Red Room operations were a perfect bait to lure both Ronin and Hawkeye in at the same time. Bucky was absolutely certain that both of them would show up to this if he and Jason pulled it off convincingly, which he knew they could. They'd split the work right down the middle to play to each of their strengths. Jason was doing the heavy lifting for the on-the-ground aspects. He'd picked an out-of-the-way dock that was not quite abandoned to stage their event, organized a legitimate cargo ship to drop off a few nondescript, and empty, containers at a particular time and date, and hired a very reliable local to drip out information to specific people without getting herself wrapped up in anything. Bucky was in charge of making it all look real, generating false trails for their targets to stumble onto that would confirm the overheard details. The advent of the internet had been a real game changer for this, something he both loved and loathed. It was so much easier these days to stage a sting op. Just a few quick keystrokes, coded messages to be intercepted, the right name dropped in the right place, and you were set. Unfortunately, it was also easier for amateurs to find holes in your net. Trying to fool two highly intelligent and competent assassins meant he had to make sure everything was buttoned up and legitimate, lest one of them see through the facade. The entire process was both incredibly intricate and incredibly time-consuming. Which was lucky, because on a deeply personal level, this op was a terrible idea, and the fiddly work he was in charge of was exactly what Bucky needed to distract him from the number of old, bad memories that were being dragged back up by all of this. The daylight hours were filled with distractions, work, cooking, and Jason. The nighttime hours were filled with horror, screams and knives and blood-red braids. If it was too early in the night when he woke up drenched in sweat, the other side of the bed would be empty and a thrill of fear would run through him before he remembered Jason was a grown man, not a little girl, not a Red Room target, and he was certainly capable of defending himself if necessary. It shouldn't be necessary in this case. All of the Red Room activity was being faked. The only potential danger came from the assassins they were trying to catch, and any other interested parties that might accidentally take the bait. Danger from their targets wasn't something they could avoid, not if the op went off successfully. Danger from other parties could be mitigated, though, and Bucky was more than willing to leave that task in Jason's capable, connected hands. Most of Jason's interactions with his people took place outside of their safe house, for obvious reasons. It was very rare for him to take a call at home. Well, that was... Jason trailed off, staring at his phone in bafflement. No, you know what? I'm going to take that as validation. Good job, us. What'd we do? Bucky had made a conscious choice a long time ago to deliberately not eavesdrop on any of Jason's phone calls. Good partnerships were built on trust, not suspicion. Besides, if Jason ever did decide to betray him, he wouldn't be stupid enough to talk about it on the phone while Bucky was in the room. We did a bang-up job of convincing everyone the Red Room is moving girls through Gotham next week, apparently. That does sound like a good thing, Bucky agreed placidly, as he refocused on drafting some more messages to drop over the next few days. How'd you find that out? I let Oracle in on our plans early, let her know we need this op to be tight and without any meddling from outsiders. She, apparently didn't pass any of that along to the rest of the bats? Jason's voice tilted up at the end in half-question that Bucky agreed with. He didn't know Oracle well outside of her role as a liaison amongst the various members of Jason's family, but just that role made it odd that she hadn't passed the information along. Why? No idea, Jason shrugged. I will definitely be more specific in passing information along in the future, because if Batman had busted in while we were trying to talk to Ronan and Hawkeye... Let's just say things would have gone very sideways very quickly. Bucky winced. But we should be in the clear, Jason added hastily. Apparently, Batman heard enough noise that he decided he needed to get in on the action. He contacted Oracle to see what she could dig up, and she set him straight, told him it was our op and no one was in any real danger. Huh. Well then, as long as you're sure no one's going to get in the way, that's good enough for me, Bucky replied. If he ever ended up in a fight with Batman, it was going to be on purpose, not due to a misunderstanding or miscommunication. Yeah, I think we're fine. All right, what do we have left to do? The op was a bust. All of that meticulous prep, organizing and planning and getting confirmation that it looked legit from Batman himself, and not a peep from their targets. Either of them. The only thing keeping Jason from screaming was Bucky at his side. If he was bothered by their failure, Jason couldn't tell. 8 hours into this fruitless stakeout, and he was still as stoic and silent as he had been at the start. Just as the pre-dawn light started to creep its way over Gotham Harbor, just as Jason was about to call it so they could go home, Bucky shifted. Jason's eyebrows shot up his forehead as his partner pointed towards a large lump on the roof of a nearby building. They'd scouted the area as they'd approached, taking detailed notes of their surroundings, and that lump had been there the whole time, so why? "That's our mark," Bucky whispered, and Jason stared, disbelieving, as the lump moved, sliding across the roof and disappearing over the edge furthest from their location. With barely a glance at each other to confirm, they sprang into pursuit, a well-practiced routine that had Jason leaping over the rooftops and Bucky running through the empty streets. The lump, the target, led them on a merry chase, winding through Gotham like he'd been born to these streets rather than recently invaded them. Across rooftops, up and down fire escapes, cutting through alleyways and empty warehouses, around a corner and... gone. They stopped simultaneously, Jason scanning furiously for any sign of movement and Bucky listening intently for any telltale sounds. In silent agreement, they cleared the nearby buildings, rooftop to basement, a quick but thorough check. Nothing. "Lost him," Jason growled as they came back together, finally snapping his anger out at the entire botched mess. "At least we know he was interested," Bucky said. "And yeah, look on the bright side and all, but who was he, though?" Jason took a perverse pleasure in deflating Bucky's bubble. He'd probably feel bad about that later, but right now he was just irritated. "Whatever, let's just get out of here and we can figure out what went wrong later." Bucky stood and scanned the area for a long, hopeful moment before nodding and following Jason back to their safe house. Gotham was subdued after the failed mission, though Jason couldn't quite tell whether it was a cause or effect of the decrease in criminal activity, or if his perception was just altogether skewed by the somber mood at home. They'd picked their plans apart and found nothing out of place. It should have worked. Jason was slowly but surely letting the sense of failure go, helped a bit by Bruce letting up off his back now that he knew they weren't behind the extra unwanted vigilante activity. Bucky was not letting it go. Bucky was, perhaps, taking the whole thing a bit personally. Bucky was, perhaps, taking out his residual anger on some unsuspecting criminals. And on some unsuspecting cinnamon roll dough. Jason figured he deserved to let loose every once in a while. So, when the call came in for a coordinated bust on Ibanescu's underground dogfighting ring, Jason dragged Bucky along with him. Bucky didn't work often with Batman or the Robins, his usual methods being somewhat more lethal than they were comfortable with, but he was perfectly adept at targeting kneecaps on a joint op. He dressed a little differently than he did when it was the two of them on patrol, hair pulled back rather than hanging free, a domino mask to hide his face, a pair of black leather gloves to go with his metal jacket, obscuring the entirety of his metal arm. Jason knew just enough about the metal arm to know it was a very sensitive subject, and also highly distinctive. Only twice had they come across someone who seemed to recognize Bucky by his arm, but both events had been seared into Jason's memory. Brutal fights and shouting in Russian, and no holds barred by any party. Best not to get into that kind of situation around their tentative allies. The meetup with Batman and both Robins was at midnight, in a neutral location not far from their target location. It was a straightforward mission, honestly something Batman and a single Robin could have taken care of alone, if it wasn't for the far-flung, scattered area they needed to cover and the anticipated enemy numbers. After a brief, pointed argument, Jason and Bucky moved over to start on the west side of the warehouse, while the others started at the east side. It was easy to clear the initial hallways, disarming the occasional guard and securing them for someone else to deal with later. The main room of the warehouse was where things became, conservatively speaking, a shitshow. There were either a lot of people necessary to work the fights, or a lot of people interested in betting on them, or both, because dozens more people than originally anticipated were moving en masse to fight their way out of a date with the court system. The chaos exploded like a bomb. Jason didn't have the time to worry about whether his methods were appropriately non-lethal while he was fighting for his life. He just dodged, punched, and stabbed when given the opportunity. Once he settled into the fight, it felt good, like stretching a muscle or scratching an itch. He'd been out of his depth with the whole Hawkeye and Ronin thing, and the way it ended had left him more wound up and frustrated than he'd realized. This was as comfortable as breathing. He stuck close to Bucky out of habit, not because Bucky couldn't take care of himself, he was a better fighter than Jason, and Jason was not ashamed to admit it, but because he wanted to be sure they could react as a team in the event something went awry. something like their opponents sprouting arrows in their hands. "Cover me," Bucky asked. Jason did so with relish, taking down the few people willing to get up close and personal with them, while Bucky scanned their surroundings, looking for the archer. "Got him, let's go," Bucky demanded, punching in the face of the guy Jason had been grappling with, and pulling Jason away and up toward the catwalks. Jason spared a fleeting glance at the fighting, noted there were few enough people left that Bruce and the kids should easily be able to take them down, and followed Bucky out into the night in pursuit of their target. Bucky pushed his way up the fire escape, noting the droplets of blood scattered along the metal with growing concern. Wild animals were at their most dangerous when trapped and injured. The same held true for assassins. He reached the window that had been left wide open and slid through with ease, choosing to take up a defensible position instead of one that was outright threatening. The small studio apartment had very few things inside: a mattress lying directly on the floor, a half-open duffel bag full of clothes, a sword in its sheath. A blonde man in purple armor, leaning nonchalantly against the kitchen counter, with one hand casually snaked around his stomach and resting on his side, and the other hand holding an arrow like a knife. Jason came in the window right on Bucky's heels and did his own quick visual assessment of the room. Bucky could see the moment his partner noticed the sword, tension stiffening his spine as he spun around to face their target. "Good to meet you, Hawkeye. Or should I call you Ronin?" Jason asked accusingly. The man smiled. "You can call me whatever you like." "What I'd like to call you is your name. Look, I'm Red Hood, and he's the Winter Soldier. He prefers to go by James, actually." "No, I fucking don't," Bucky countered swiftly, leaning into the banter to mask the internal alarm bells that had gone off at the casual use of his old code name. He hadn't gone out tonight as the Winter Soldier. He'd gone out as an associate of the Red Hood, deliberately covering his metal arm and hand. Bucky could only assume Hawkeye/Ronin was using that name as an intentional reveal that he'd been gathering his own surveillance on them, even as they'd been trying to track him down. It was an unsettling realization, amplified by Bucky's irritation for not considering the possibility. He'd been so focused on setting up the trap that he hadn't thought through contingency plans as well as he should have. They had discussed how to approach this conversation, but it had been under the assumption that it would be after a fight, after they'd defeated the guy and could feasibly threaten him to get him to leave town. This was a completely different situation. They weren't going to be able to threaten this man, not like this. At best, they could try to persuade him to leave, or maybe tone down the killing people. At worst, they might even have to kill him, and Bucky wasn't thrilled with their chances of coming out of that fight unscathed. The man smirked, just a little, at the back and forth, before carefully setting his face to neutral. "Y'all are the ones who set up that fake Red Room sting." It wasn't a question. He wasn't asking if they'd been behind the trap. He was telling them he knew they were. Bucky wondered briefly if that was when his interest in the two of them had started, or if he'd been keeping tabs on them for longer, maybe even all the way back to when he'd first arrived in the city. Asking about that would give too much away, though, so Bucky nodded in acknowledgement and opted for a less revealing question. "How did you know it was fake?" "Your intel's out of date," came the oddly easy reply. "You name-dropped Dracov, but he's been dead for a couple of years." "Has he?" Bucky raised his eyebrows in surprise. "They've kept that real damn quiet. Oh well, couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. You know who took him out?" "Sure, but that would be telling. Now, you two want to get to the point and tell me why you came after me tonight?" the man asked, twirling his arrow around his fingers absentmindedly. "Yeah, see, you've kind of been causing us problems all summer," Jason said, in an impressively neutral tone considering how annoyed Bucky knew he was at the whole situation. "Have I?" The assassin's voice turned ice cold, and Bucky couldn't repress the shiver that went down his spine at the reminder that this was a very dangerous, very deadly man in front of them, and they needed to tread carefully. "It's your methods, not your targets," Jason clarified. "Batman's got a thing about killing. The only reason he hasn't come after you yet is he was blaming us for everything instead, but that's been cleared up. If you keep killing people, he's gonna end up throwing you in Arkham." The man stayed silent. It was impossible to tell what he was thinking, but Bucky suspected he was sizing them up. "We're on the same side here," Bucky added, confident in that assertion. "We want people to be safe, and from what we've seen, you have the same end goal. The criminals you're taking out are shitheads. I mean, we were there to get Ibanescu, same as you. And the rest of your history speaks for itself." "My history?" "What we know of it, yeah," Bucky amended. He didn't like the way the man had tensed up at that, but he couldn't quite put his finger on why. Sympathy, maybe. The familiar echo of the difference between the official mission reports and the truth of what you've done to survive. After another brief, tense silence, the man shrugged. "Okay, well, consider your warning delivered. You can let yourselves out the same way you let yourselves in," he said, gesturing toward the window with his arrow. And they could. They could do that, let him go on his way, and if he ran afoul of Batman, then so be it. Something about that didn't sit right with Bucky. Something about how what they'd thought was two, or four, separate people, was really one man claiming the whole city as territory under his watch. Something about the bare, impersonal safe house and the man's seeming disregard for his own health. Something that felt like a suspiciously familiar kind of worry. "Come with us," Bucky offered instead, an impulse that had both Jason and Hawkeye/Ronin jerking in surprise, but he couldn't help the sinking feeling that if they left this place, the next time they met this man, he might be dead. "Why?" "Because I'm worried about you" wasn't going to go over well, despite its honesty. This man wasn't the type to want looking after, even if the offer was made by a friend rather than a total stranger. But maybe he was the type to throw his lot in on a long-shot chance to try to save the world. Pieces of a puzzle Bucky hadn't even known he was working on clicked into place, neat and orderly. Hydra, S.H.I.E.L.D., Hawkeye, Ronin, Steve, aliens. "Because I need your help," he admitted, finally. "With what?" Jason was, to put it mildly, pretty pissed off about the turn this conversation had taken. He didn't know what the hell Bucky was thinking, and he didn't particularly like knowing that his partner was willing to trust a vigilante with something that he hadn't trusted Jason with. "I need your help. Not we. I." Bucky's initial, improvised pivot had been a smart move that Jason approved of, even though they hadn't discussed that possibility. Without the upper hand, it didn't make sense to try to threaten such a dangerous assassin. Reasoning with him to work out some kind of compromise made sense. This did not. This needed a very good explanation, fast, before Jason started really getting angry. Bucky looked over at Jason with what might have been intended as an apologetic expression, before taking a deep breath and spreading his hands beseechingly and directing his words to both of them. "There's a dangerous group of people that have been gaining power and influence for decades. At this point, they've got their fingers in a lot of pies, infiltrated a lot of governments and agencies. They're worse than the Red Room, worse than the League or the Joker," he said, looking at each of them in turn. "And what does that have to do with me?" Hawkeye/Ronin asked, without nearly as much heat as Jason would have put into the question if it had been him in that position. Really, it sounded like Bucky had piqued his interest, like maybe he'd actually identified the right hook to reel the assassin in. Jason was impressed, if still quite miffed. Bucky hesitated, clearly debating how much to give away. "How secure is this location?" he asked. "Well, you two assholes broke in, so clearly not very," came the bitingly sarcastic response. "Right, okay. The short version is, you have connections at S.H.I.E.L.D., and that's the agency they've infiltrated most heavily." Hawkeye, and he was Hawkeye now, of that Jason had no doubt, flinched ever so slightly, presumably at the mention of his possibly erstwhile employers. "If that's true, how do you know I'm not one of these dangerous people that have infiltrated?" he asked, using scare quotes and sarcasm to mask whatever his true feelings were. Bucky didn't take the bait. "You've got a hell of a reputation, Hawkeye. You wouldn't fall for their tactics, and they'd know you'd be an extremely dangerous person to try to recruit." There were some weird and complicated emotions running across Hawkeye's face, but Jason wasn't familiar enough with him to figure out what they were. Fine. You got any proof of any of this? Bucky swallowed visibly, and though his face didn't give anything away, his voice was gruff when he answered. Yeah, I've got plenty of proof. Fuck. Hawkeye put his arrow down on the counter and briefly covered his face with his newly empty hand before sighing deeply, pulling his mask off, and scrubbing his hand through his hair. Fuck, he said again, this time with a sort of resigned anger behind it. All right, I'm in. Let me pack my shit up and we can get somewhere more secure and you can give me all those nasty details you're so twitchy about. Just like that, Jason couldn't help but ask. You've got a hell of a reputation, Hawkeye parroted back Bucky's words. Both of you. Plus, I'm nosy. Winter Soldier's been out of the game a long damn time. Call me interested in finding out more about whatever's spooked him into getting back in. I'm not. My name is Bucky. Ah. His face softened just a little bit. I'm Clint. Now, seriously, give me some space to grab my things and talk to your partner while you're at it. He sounds angry, he added, winking at Jason as he walked past to the bathroom, still clutching gently at his side. You need help bandaging that? Jason asked, remembering the blood he'd seen on their way over, and definitely not avoiding an uncomfortable conversation. Nah, I do this all the time, Clint said nonchalantly, and that... Jason glanced reflexively over at Bucky to find the same mildly despairing look that Jason knew was on his own face. This guy was going to fit right in with them. If there was still a them at this point. So. They considered each other for a long moment, Bucky opening and closing his mouth several times without actually saying anything. He was clearly worried, and it was that more than anything that made Jason throttle back his vindictive and petty tendencies. Jason could tell that it had cost Bucky a lot to bring this topic up at all, even if he didn't know why. The least he could do was hear him out. Worse than the League, huh? It was an olive branch, one that Bucky grabbed gratefully. Much, much worse. They're so nasty, so dangerous, and I... He drew in a deep breath. I didn't want them to hurt you, he admitted. I'm nasty and dangerous, Jason replied mildly, but Bucky was shaking his head before he'd even finished. Not like this, he said firmly. They got me back in 44. I was only able to escape a few days before I met you. Jason stared. He couldn't help it, though Bucky was obviously deeply uncomfortable with the attention, refusing to make eye contact and instead fixating intently on the wall somewhere behind Jason. 60-odd years at the hands of some kind of shady organization. 60-odd years that Jason would be willing to bet included a fair amount of torture and terror, considering Bucky's scars, nightmares, and general unwillingness to talk about his past at all. 60-odd years, and only now was he ready to take revenge. Like hell was Jason going to make him do it alone. Fuck them, then, he said vehemently, startling Bucky into finally looking at him. He stalked over to his partner and bumped his shoulder in support. We'll take him down together. One year later. Heading out again? Yeah, just taking a couple days. My therapist is really big on work-life balance, whatever that is, Clint replied, with a wink. Steve laughed. I guess this job doesn't usually lend itself to any kind of balance. Good for you to recognize when you need some time off. From other people, that might have sounded like a rebuke, but Clint knew Steve well enough by now to know he meant it both genuinely and just a little bit self-deprecatingly. You want to come with? Where are you going? Help a friend clean out a house in New Jersey, Clint said easily, laughing internally at the little moo of distaste Steve made at the name of the state. Thanks, but I think I'll stick around here, Steve replied, just as Clint had expected. He sent a jaunty wave at the other man as he got into the elevator, waiting until the doors had closed before he let his face fall back to neutral. Someday, Clint wouldn't be asking Steve if he wanted to come along. Someday, he would be telling Steve he was coming along. That someday would be soon, if they played their cards right. They'd bring Steve and Natasha in first. And Clint was already anticipating Nat's annoyance at being kept out of the loop for so long, then Tony and Bruce. He'd advocated for bringing Steve and Natasha in sooner, given they were active SHIELD agents, but Bucky had shied away from the idea. He'd eventually admitted that he had a history with each of them, and though he wasn't yet willing to confront them, or have them confront him, Clint was a little fuzzy on the particulars, he'd compromised by saying they should be brought in once things started heating up. That was good enough for Clint. They were too high profile to do the necessary infiltration-based early work anyway. Infiltrating the infiltrators, Jason had called it, with that darkly feral grin Clint was becoming very familiar with. Jason had been impressively effective in his role in this op, showing up as a disaffected 20-something with a bad attitude, phenomenal combat skills, and just enough callous disregard for human life to make him an attractive recruit for Hydra. The intel he was bringing in was invaluable, a thorough catalog of the people that made up Hydra's ground forces, people that were new enough that they weren't part of Bucky's extensive documentation around the command structure and the people who were in charge. Clint's intel made use of his status as a high-level SHIELD agent, pulling mission reports and personnel files to look for irregularities and potential Hydra hideouts. He'd been surprised at how easy it was for him to regain his clearance after Loki and his extended sabbatical in Gotham, but he was grateful that someone, somewhere, had likely eased that process. He had his suspicions on who it was. Bucky spent his days organizing all of the intel coming in from Jason and Clint, his nights running patrols pretending to be Red Hood, and the occasional weekend hitting obscure Hydra bases with Clint and, rarely, Jason. Usually, Clint would take a roundabout route to get to Gotham, deliberately careful to throw off any enemies or well-meaning friends that might be trying to trail him. Today, he just took the bus. Bucky's message had been as cryptic as ever. "It's not paranoia if you know they're out to get you," Jason had commented once, earning himself an aggrieved eye roll, but had also conveyed a bit of urgency. He covered his trail once he got into Gotham, of course. He wasn't incompetent. Jason had beaten him to the safe house, which was surprising. "What, were you in the area already or something?" "I'm actually actively on a mission," Jason replied from the sofa, where he was slouching dramatically and taking up all three seat cushions. Clint glanced over at Bucky in confusion. "He's been sent to make inroads with some of Gotham's finest. Something about this being a hotbed for biological weapons development." "Gross," Clint said, shuddering just a little and contemplating briefly whether it was worth it to try to get Bobby involved in this, to look into the science side of Hydra. He made a mental note to bring up the idea at some point. "Yeah, which obviously that's not gonna fly. I'm not gonna turn Scarecrow's fear toxin over to Hydra. That would..." Jason trailed off. "Be a disaster," Bucky finished for him. He'd been in the process of organizing papers all over the dining table when Clint walked in, stacking them in neat piles on top of a world map. Now, he looked at his work while he spoke, arms crossed over his chest. "At this point, I think we've gotten as much information as we need from your undercover work." Jason sat up, attentive now that it seemed like they were getting down to business. "Seriously?" "Yeah." Bucky beckoned them both over to the table. "We've hit all the people and outposts we reasonably can without drawing attention. We've got a list of hundreds of people involved, and locations of major research bases and storage facilities, and detailed information on what their long-term and immediate goals are." Clint looked over the map with a critical eye. Bucky was right. They'd managed to take out all the fringe locations they knew about. There were two paths forward that Clint could see. They could start at the top with that snake Pierce and work their way down through the disintegrating ranks, or they could start at the bottom, hit more facilities hard enough and push fast enough to panic the higher-ups and push them into making mistakes. He looked up to see matching, focused expressions on both Bucky and Jason's faces, and he was struck briefly by gratitude for such skilled, reliable partners that had taken a chance on him when he was at his lowest. Whatever the decision, the three of them would see it through together. Okay, so what's next? The end.